Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host. And we're going to travel into other dimensions with another dimensional traveler who's a really good friend, an incredible author. Her latest book, The Angelic Origins of the Soul, is an incredible book. And actually, Tricia McCannon, the author, was on our show recently talking about it, and we're going to talk about it again. Tricia, welcome back to Energy Stew.
Oh, Peter, it's always a pleasure to be with you and our wonderful listeners. And I know it's winter, it's freezing up there, so, you know, it's pretty cold down here in Atlanta, too.
Yeah, well, we're in it. It's changing times and changing climate. So I really want to climb into this other dimensional reality that is what so much of what you're about, because you've had life experiences in other dimensions, right?
I have. I think actually all of us do, just most of us don't remember them because, you know, we got our hands full with the present life, you know, we're trying to figure out the ins and outs of this one. But, you know, as a clairvoyant of over, you know, I was really born as a clairvoyant, but I've been doing professional readings for people for over 30 years. As I shared with you a little earlier, when I first started doing readings for people, I was only going back 3,000-5,000 years in their history, primarily here on Earth. And then I made a leap to where I was going 10 or 20 or 30 or 40 or 50,000 years in the past. And of course, at that time on Earth, we had other civilizations that we hear legends about, like Atlantis and Lemuria. And, you know, the civilizations were, some of them kind of like Greek or Roman. Some of them were much more advanced, like the kind of advanced cultures we have today, depending on when you dropped into the timeline. And then over time, I found myself actually tracking souls into other planetary systems. And as I continue to pull the thread, you know, tracking the journey of the soul from the third dimension, let's say, up to a higher dimension, the fourth, or an even higher, the fifth, and so forth. Over many years, I came to discover that, much to my complete surprise, because this was quite different from how I had been taught in my Judeo-Christian world, we all actually originated a long time ago, long, 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 long time ago, from the angelic kingdoms. And so in this book, as you know, The Angelic Origins of the Soul, and for those of you who are watching and not just listening, I will actually hold it up so you can see it. It's subtitled Discovering Your Divine Purpose. I share my investigative findings in this book, not only my findings, but the findings of other people who come from a variety of different spiritual paths, honoring all the great esoteric traditions, from Jewish to Theosophical, Christian to Taoist, Shinto, Hindu, Buddhist, all those traditions. And basically, I share the experiences of a lot of people who have died and gone to the other side, NDEs as we call them, near-death experiencers, and return to tell us what it's like. And since I also have had that very powerful experience of dying, going to the other side, meeting my Council of Light, and being, you know, having my life really transformed by the power of that experience that was more real than the world that we're in today, I have glimpsed some of those landscapes of heaven. So, you know, when we talked before in our earlier interviews, we were really talking about the first and second sections of this book. And as you know, there are four sections. So in one, we talk about what is the soul, and in section two, the landscapes of heaven, we talk about the landscapes of heaven and the laws that govern the soul and where we come from and where we return to. And of course, in section three and four, we talk about the angelic origins and how we forget who we are, how we come back to, we go through this process of forgetting and remembering, which is part, I think, of any sentient being who wants to answer those questions. Who am I? Where did I come from? Where am I going when I die? And what is the game of life all about? And of course, I talk about some of the dysfunctional patterns that the soul can get trapped in while we're here on Earth, and how we can free ourselves from these patterns so that we basically achieve more mastery in every lifetime. So that's kind of what the heart of this book is about.
Unfortunately, we're in a time of advancing consciousness, expanding consciousness. So there's opportunity ahead for all of us to awaken and to really understand what you and I are talking about.
Yeah, there's lots of opportunity every single morning. It's a different opportunity. You know, do we pick the path of kindness or the path of greed? Do we pick the path of service or the path of just service to self? Do we choose love, or do we choose fear or hate or anger or whatever? So, I mean, every single day is an opportunity to make a set of choices that advance us on the path or actually pull us back into more of the world of shadow and unhappiness and, you know, violence.
And that all makes sense. And if it doesn't make sense to people who might be listening, you might be listening to the wrong show.
Anyone who follows your show, Peter, is probably a pretty conscious person.
Right.
I mean, I do a lot of radio around the country and the world, and I have for years. And as I've told you before, you give great interview, and it's because you yourself are so very conscious and insightful.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. So let's talk about the other side, because this part of your book is a lot about near-death experiences, what people have traveled into and then come back, people who had near death, not final death. Those who have final death just might have had the same experiences but never came back to tell us about it. And then there's also hypnotic regression that actually is very equal to near-death experiences in the information that it provides. And Michael Newton, who's a famous hypnotist who started this big trend to have hypnotic regression back in between lifetimes, so that when you're in between, I had that one time, and the hypnotherapist said, who was a student of Michael Newton, who said, now you're in your past lifetime, you know, and I got to see it and feel it and know it, and it was great to have that experience of that previous lifetime. And then he said, now you're dying, what's happening? And I actually went through, not serious, I just noticed that I couldn't breathe anymore. And all of a sudden I was traveling out into the ethers and had very, very strong, beautiful experiences on the other side that...
Yeah. I consider it to be a doorway into the worlds of light, and it's very much the opposite of what we've been taught. We've been taught to fear death, particularly in the cultures that have cut reincarnation out of our philosophies or cosmologies. And of course, reincarnation pretty much has been embraced by every tradition of the world. And of course, because of social political power controls, you know, it was eventually cut out around the 500s or 600s of Christianity. I talk about that in my books. But the ancients knew that it was a cycle of life, just like we have spring, summer, fall, and winter. This is true for us. We have a period of time when we come to Earth and most of us lose our memories of who we really are. And we get an opportunity to write a chapter in the book of life. And the chapter is whatever this lifetime as we're living, you know, great or humble or in service or selfish or whatever. And then we return back to our heavenly homes and we go through that tunnel of light and the near-death experience or the death experience. We meet the incredible being of light. And there's a lot to say about that being.
Yes, I've had that experience.
Well, that being gives us a chance to really do a very intimate life review.
No, actually, my experience wasn't that elaborate. The being of light, and you speak about it very nicely in the book, is, let's call it our higher self, our oversoul. It's who we really are outside of this one lifetime.
Yes, it's what the Gnostics called our angelic twin. And this is, of course, at part of the heart of what Jesus was teaching with the sacred marriage. he was talking about the marriage of the mortal human self, the ego self, to this higher angelic being that, as you say, is who we truly are. And most people, when they go through that tunnel and meet that being of light, they think it's Jesus or Mary or Buddha or...
I had a similar experience. I didn't know who he was.
Yes.
And I'm facing him, and my hypnotic session, regressive session, was being recorded. So here I was, you know, coming across this man who was this incredible being.
Incredible.
I was in awe of him, and I was really tearful about it, how beautiful he was. He was an older man, white hair, white beard, and actually was wearing white. And I'm thinking, well, this is supposed to be what God is supposed to look like, you know. But, you know, it was really that I understood that I was in the presence of some great being.
And that's true. You were.
But then I kept saying, and this is on the recording, but I am him, and he is me, and I am him, and he is me. I didn't know why I was saying that.
Well, that is amazing that you saw that, because this is very hidden esoteric knowledge. The Tibetan Book of the Dead talks about the fact that when we encounter this being, 99.9% of us never recognize this being as being an aspect of who we truly are. We're so conditioned by religions and so forth, and our own, you know, self-worth issues, that we project it into the highest aspect of what we can imagine. It's Jesus or Buddha or the death angels, the Yamadutas, is what they think in Hindu.
I don't believe that it has a real form. I believe that it creates the form it feels you need to see.
I think that's true, Peter. I think it's very true. And you know, they say, the Tibetan Book of the Dead says that if, when we look at this being, we actually recognize that it is us, we become enlightened and we become freed from the wheel of samsara or the wheel of suffering.
Oh, thank you.
Pardon me?
Because I had that experience with this being. And it really said to me, because I didn't know who this being was. I just kept saying, it is me and I am him, and all that. And he is me. And then later in the regressive session, the hypnotherapist said, ask your guides who you're with now who that person was. No, he said, ask your guides to show you meet your higher self. And I said, can I meet my higher self? And they said, oh, that's that man that you were with. And so that's how I identified him. And So I really felt blessed by that. But as soon as I got that recognition that was my higher self and saw the presence of magnificence of it, I said, oh, my God, who am I? I must be important. I must be of value. I must have light. Look how, wow, who must I be to be him? And that really changed my life. I really felt blessed and that I should really live that out as much as I can.
That's a powerful, powerful teaching. And that's one of the things, if all of us can remember, that no matter how asleep at the wheel we feel down here, or, you know, I'm not pretty enough or smart enough or rich enough or famous enough or whatever we believe about ourselves that we've been conditioned to believe, if we can remember that who we truly are these immense angelic divinities, and we are the spark of God dwells within each and every person. And when we encounter this part of us, this angelic twin, this part eternally resides in those higher realms. In other words, we've been taught to believe that we come down here, we have one life, or in some cases, multiple lives, people believe. And if we don't get it right, then we're damned to hell for all eternity. And, you know, I remember, and you know, there's much that I love about the inner teachings of religion. Please don't misunderstand me. And I love going into the great cathedrals because they're, you know, literally temples of light and resonance. And there's much that I can say that's good. So please don't mishear me. But I was raised, as you know, my dad was Baptist, my mom was Methodist. We became Episcopalian, and I loved that because it was like Catholic light. You know, you get all the wonderful ceremony and stuff, but without the guilt and the, you know, the nuns hitting you on the hand with the ruler. Right. And but I remember one Christmas being at this great cathedral, and it was the Christmas Mass, and they were saying, in the Mass, we are not worthy so much as to gather the crumbs beneath your feet. And I suddenly just had like this aha moment, like, okay, yes. Okay, let's say God is this immensity, like the sun, 99% of the mass in our solar system. And of course, our sun is just a kind of a small sun. There's a lot of bigger suns out there, but let's just compare it to a marble, okay? Marble sun, okay? So yes, we're maybe a marble, but guess what? We have the power of the sun within us. We have the power of God within us. So on one hand, it's good to be humble and not let your ego run the show, absolutely, which is maybe what that mass was trying to get people to do, was to humble themselves. But on the other, believing that we are nothing, that we come, we're from dust we rise and dust we return and all that kind of stuff, it doesn't really serve us. If we could instead realize that we are a divine being on a great voyage into the exploration of ourselves and the divine immensity of that sun, and that we have, because we have the sun within us, or God within us, the more we can walk in that presence of that higher divinity of ourselves, the more we can embody or enlighten matter, the more we can actually bring that holiness down to earth in our everyday words and actions and thoughts. And then when we get to the other side, maybe we have a chance of recognizing that divine within ourselves at an even higher level when we encounter that being of light.
And I'm very hopeful for the future. Because if we look back on the past of humanity and try to measure our light, it looks very dim. And I mean, there are moments of great brilliance, but there's also such inhumanity in our history. So I think that we're on a path.
There's such what in our history? I'm so sorry. You know, I'm getting over this flu everybody's got. So I apologize to our listeners that occasionally this cough right at the point when Peter's about to say something so profound. So could you repeat that last minute? I'm so sorry.
No, it's we're just being human. We've been on a path of great inhumanity, and we're growing out of it. And I believe that, I mean, even looks bad now, you know, there's so much chaos and ugly things happening in the world. But I think it's all a detox, and it's all allowing us to see what we have to change and to be awakened enough to change it. And I think
that is the right way to look at it. You know, I thought that we were making progress there for quite a while at a very overt level. In other words, we were treating one another black, white, green, pink, and polka dot and more equal. We were looking at men and women with some gender balance and equality, at least in some parts of the world. And we were striving for green energy that wouldn't destroy our planet and continue to just pollute and rape and pillage. And of course, the turn that politics has taken at this point is pretty horrendous. It's like a melodrama soap opera. It's unbelievable. Right. But as you say, what it's doing is it's illuminating for us our shadow. The places where we are playing the persecutor, victim, rescuer game, which I talk about in the Angelic Origins of the Soul. And a lot of the world is playing this game. We've been taught to play this game. You know, there's a persecutor or a tyrant. We look around and see a lot of world leaders playing that role. Unfortunately, Donald Trump seems to want to step in those shoes. So the rich get richer. You know, the poor get poorer. They feel like the victims. They feel unempowered. They feel angry. You know, there's revolts and coup d'etats and things like that. And, you know, and as long as we're on that merry-go-round, it's we have failed to realize the fundamental thing that, guess what? There's only one of us down here. In other words, that little marble, how many billions of marbles could fit within the sun? we all are a part of the sun. No, you know, we are all a part of the sun.
Right.
And whether or not you're green, pink polka dot, you're a giraffe, you're a wolf, you're a human, we all have that sacred spark within us. And that spark is the thing that needs to be honored. And guess what? There's no playing field to even have this conversation on if we don't honor the earth, who of course is a living creature, because life does not come from something dead. So of course she has to be alive. Life has to come from life.
Right. And this is a beautiful planet and we're really pillaging it. So the thing is now is that we have to see ourselves as one, as a civilization that's responsible. And some people have suggested that maybe if the ETs showed up, we'd all realize how different we are and we need to band together. And even though if the ETs are good, it doesn't matter. It's just we recognize our humanity as one. But
well, again, we're being trained, you know, Hollywood, who I think does great movies. I love Hollywood movies. But the ones that get the green light from the powers that be that have the money, who are connected with powers that want to control the earth and continue to stay in control, they demonize the extraterrestrials so that we'll fear them. And of course, there's even been talk that they're willing with holographic technology to try to stage some kind of a, you know, invasion of earth and so forth in order to continue to remain in power. I would say this, that extraterrestrials are probably in many ways like us. You've got the good ones, you've got the bad ones, and you've got the ones in between. But most of the ones that are going to be coming here, they're either going to be coming because they want to help us and support us, and they've got a lot of, you know, they're obviously interstellar, so they have access to lots and lots of planets. They're interested in doing trade deals because we have a lot of minerals on this planet, in which case secrecy is not helping us. We could actually exchange knowledge and information for resources if that's something that we choose to do. Or they're working covertly behind the scenes with perhaps covert aspects of the human race who are interested in continuing to remain in power. So, you know, we're all, even though we may be dressed in different costumes, we're all operating from very similar principles. But of course, what we come out from, just like in the human condition, is our environment and our programming and our training. And in a lot of these civilizations, they have been trained to think of the cosmos in a big way, to think of creation in a big way, to realize that if they're going to have a sustainable planet, they have to treat it with respect. And a sustainable life, especially if you live 1,000 or 2,000 or 5,000 years, we live these short lives. So, you know, we're able to think in the short term and think, hey, I'll get mine, and who cares what happens to my great-great-grandchildren. And that's a misthinking, because where are these souls that are down here going to reincarnate?
Well, there are many people who haven't woken up yet, and they're in the limited DNA and brain capacity that humans unfortunately have been hampered by. That is now changing. And so there are a lot of these mindsets that aren't helping. And but I keep coming back to the understanding that our solar system is being hit by energies from the center of our galaxy that's very powerful and very new and renewing and restoring our brain capacity, let's say.
I agree. And I love that. And I think we are on the upswing, even though in the moment it appears that we're being challenged. But this has to do with galactic cycles of time, which I don't really talk about in this particular book, but I'll probably be talking about in some of my next books. And of course I do in some of my webinars, but so these cycles of time, we are passing through the center, the plane that aligns us with the center of our galaxy. And it's going to take about 1,200 years. They say that we begin to enter this around the time of the Renaissance. And of course, we've been passing through it for about 450 years. So we have a ways to go, but we are definitely, I think, moving upward in consciousness and beginning to illuminate those patterns that absolutely are so self-destructive for ourselves and humanity. And, you know, we're talking at a bigger scale right now, you and me, because we think at a bigger scale. But in this book, The Angelic Origins of the Soul, I'm also speaking at a personal level to help people figure out what they have already mastered, what they're here to master, where they are on the continuum of that mastery, so that they can look behind the veil of illusion or the events of their life and figure out what the real purpose is and how they can sort of move forward in achieving it.
Right. And what I'd like to do, because we're getting near the end of the show, and there's so much in your book and so much in you to talk about that I want to address more in as who we are. You know, we understand our journey here right now, that we're going through all this and hopefully making it all turns out to be for the good. But what is this journey of our soul? Who are we? Who is our soul? Who is Tricia McCannon versus who is your higher self? What is Tricia McCannon's purpose as Tricia McCannon versus as your higher self? Who will Tricia McCannon be in a million years from now versus your higher self? And how does that correlate? So, you know, because we all also have these long journeys with our families, our loved ones, important people in our lives. I'm sure you and I know each other in other realms. And so let's talk about that, and let's do another show soon where we really talk about who we are and what it all means.
I love that. I love that. There is a great deal to say. And, you know, I know some people are able to write these 200-page books, and I envy them, but I seem like I'm sort of, I have a lot to say.
Yeah, so you have to write 400-page books.
I do. And this one, of course, like my others, has over about 100 black and white illustrations. But my wonderful publisher, Inner Traditions, gave me permission to do 16 color images in the inside. And I'm so excited about those.
They're beautiful.
I'm all about the pictures. I hate to say it, but the, you know, the hermetics, because I'm a student of the mysteries and a teacher of the mysteries, and the mysteries encoded this information into visual images.
Well, we're going to get to all of so much more of you and your book, but let's we have to end the show now.
Thank you, Peter.
Tricia McCannon, your book is The Angelic Origins of the Soul, and where can you be reached?
Oh, yes, right. Website. Tricia McCannon, my website is Tricia McCannon, that's T-R-I-C-I-A, and McCannon's just like it sounds, M-C, Mac, and Cannon, C-A-N-N-O-N, speaks, S-P-E-A-K-S, .com. And right now I think TrishaMcCannon.com will even get you there. And, you know, you'll be able to see, this is my fourth book. I have 12 online classes. You can look under the mysteries in the mystery school.
So we will continue because you're there's so much to you.
Thank you so much, Peter, for having me on. And I look forward to it the next time. And hopefully I'll be over this flu and cough by then.
Good.
And this is Peter, and happy New Year to all of our listeners.
And this is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Stew at PRN.FM. I can be reached at peter@heartriver, heartriver.org, or 212-222-7748. I'd love to hear from you, and thanks so much for listening.